Again, good morning. Good to see everybody. If you want to turn to John 8, John chapter 8, that's where we're going to get eventually here this morning. I think Craig is going to make that the announcements, but I'm going to reiterate them so that we know we have two of those, making sure that you're hearing those, both of those. Tomorrow night, Monday night, 6:30 here is a poker night for the guys. So whether you know how to play or not, show up. We'll have a table for newbies, and we'll teach you how to play and have fun. It's just about a night hanging out with the guys. And then November 12th, there'll be more details about that. It's going to be a ladies' night that Karen's put together for those of you that want to learn how to paint some beautiful scenery. So it's pretty cool. So anyway, but Craig, I'll let you reiterate even more. So again, John chapter 8. Heard the story about a mother and father and their son, Amish. They had decided they were coming in from the farm. They'd never been in the city in their life. And so they get their little buggy, you know, their nice little horse and buggy cart, and they pull up in front of this exquisitely nice hotel. I mean, they have, you know, as they're traveling through, getting honked at, and everybody else kind of giving them a hard time, they pull up in front of this building, and they're just like, you know, they're just everything is just big and beautiful and out of the ordinary for them. And so the son, it's his 13th birthday, so he's so excited that they're going to stay in this hotel that night. So they go in, just the father. The mother stays out and watches the buggy and the horse out front. And the father and the son go in, and the son is just, you know, his eyes are this big. Everything is new and amazing and great. And so he's like, what's that? Oh, that's this. And so they kind of work their way through it. And then they come to this spot in the wall where these doors open up, you know, and people walked in and then shut again. And there's lights above them. And the little boy goes, whoa, what is that? And the father says, I have no idea. I've never seen it. I don't know what it is. And so they're intrigued, and they get a little bit closer. And about that time, a woman in a wheelchair comes pulling up. She's probably in her 60s or 70s. She comes in, pushes a button, doors open up, she wheels herself in, doors shut. And they're like, what is going on? And they see the number go to 2, and it comes back to 1, and the doors open, and a really beautiful 24-year-old blonde comes walking out. And the father looks at his son and goes, go get your mama. Okay. So, you know, transformation. Now we know it's just an elevator and all that, but we are going to talk about transformation. We're going to talk about, over the next few weeks, this idea of who is Jesus? You know, who is he really? Because some people will say he's a good man. They'll say he's a holy man. They'll say he's a good teacher. He's got a great heart. Some folks will even say he's the greatest man who ever lived. And yet they struggle when it comes to his being God in the flesh. They're like, can't go that far. Not so sure I believe that much about Jesus. So I wanted to read to you. I'm a C.S. Lewis fan. I don't know if you guys are or not. But I love some of the things that C.S. Lewis wrote. And he says this. I am trying here to prevent anyone from saying a really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he's a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you must fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He's not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Okay, and what Lewis is saying is very true and very profound. And that's very simply, you can't just say Jesus is a great moral teacher. He's a good teacher. Man, he was a great teacher. But I don't believe his claim to be God, because that doesn't make him a good moral teacher. It makes him a liar. Okay, because that means he's not telling the truth. So a good moral teacher doesn't lie. All right? And so he's either, as Lewis later writes, he's either a lunatic, he's a liar, or he's Lord. Those are your three choices. So I would like us to develop that, because there's so many people, so many folks, even within the religious realm of things, who don't know who Jesus is. And kind of like Colby up here, he comes and he kind of strips away some of his identity through the I am statement. So that's what we'll be talking about. But I just want to kind of set that up this morning. That's going to be our focus. All right. Did Jesus ever use the name of God? Did he ever use the name of God? Yes, he made that claim. So turn in Luke chapter 8, verses 52 through 59. And that's what we're going to be reading in just a second. Evan's got me hooked up again. And as we set this up, he has just said, if anyone keeps my word, all right, Jesus is speaking, if anyone keeps my word, they will never taste death. All right. And the Jews surrounding him are like, no, we won't buy that. That's just not, you can't say that. All right. He says, no. If you believe in me, you trust my words, you'll never die. And that's a bold statement. It's a bold statement. So here we are in John chapter 8, 52 through 59. Is it showing up? We tried to mess with that the other night, Evan. We couldn't, none of us could figure it out. So you're doing way better than we are. You got it? Good job. Thank you. At this, the Jews exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? And stop there just for a second, because he doesn't answer. But if he did, he would easily said, yeah, I am. I made your father Abraham. All right. But he doesn't. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Okay, so he's answering the question. We just talked about the parables, right? We've been talking about the parables on Wednesday nights and how some of the parables are a result of questions being asked. That's why he tells the story. They ask him right here. It's a great question. Who do you think you are? Jesus says, replies, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. This is pretty strong language. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. What day is that? When God comes down. He saw it and was glad. Verse 57, you are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. All right, so let's set that up and understand exactly what he's trying to say. Why don't we, you know, I had a conversation with somebody not very long ago. Well, it was pretty long ago. It was a good while back. And we were talking about who Jesus was, and he said, okay, that he believed in Jesus as a great teacher, but he would not accept the fact that he was Lord. That he was God himself in the flesh. And I said, you got to. I said, we'll go to John 8 and we'll read this. And we read this and he goes, well, that's not what Jesus said. That's not really what he meant when he said that. And I'm like, okay, well, let's look at what Jesus said and let's look at the reaction of those around him. So Jesus says, I am, and they pick up stones. Why did they pick up stones to stone him? I really want to answer. Tell me, why are you going to pick up a stone to stone Jesus for saying I am? Do what? It's blasphemy. Okay? It's blasphemy to say I am. Why is it blasphemy to say I am? Because we have to go back to Exodus chapter 3, when we've all seen the fiery burning bush. And that's where Moses comes before God. He says, take off your sandals, for where you're standing is holy ground. And God speaks through this burning bush. It's one of the greatest scenes ever in the Ten Commandments. One of the coolest new, you know, film cinematography tricks of the trade at its time. And now we kind of laugh because it's like, it's just kind of flaky old. But at the time, it was one of those really cool scenes. And Moses gives his excuses, says, man, I don't know if I really want to go help you here, God. I don't know if I can save the people or not. And God says, you can go in my strength. You can go. Trust me. And then Moses says, but what do I say to them? Who should I say is sending me to them? And God replies, I am who I am. This is what you were saying to the Israelites. I am has sent you. Okay? So when Moses is asking the question to God, God replies, I am is sending you. When Jesus says what he says in John chapter 8, he uses the exact words. Although he's using Aramaic versus Hebrew, the transliteration is exactly it. He says, I am God. And they pick up stones because they say, oh no, that's blasphemy. That's why they grab the stones. That's what he's trying to say to them and say to us. It's really important for us to get that. The Hebrew in I am is E-H-Y-E-H. Eyah is how I would say it. Okay? Eyah. And most of us, we know the other more third person name. That's the first person name. In other words, the personal name that I would say about myself. The third person name is the word Yahweh or Jehovah. Okay? We talk about that a lot. Now, the problem with that, it's actually called a Hebrew tetragrammaton. Okay? Kind of a fun word. But we don't know exactly how it was said because Hebrew doesn't have vowels. So we kind of transliterated Elohim and Adonai, those words, and put them in there to try and come up with this word. And it wasn't until Tyndale's translation in the early 1500s that we even used the word Yahweh or Jehovah. It's only been around technically since around the 15th to 16th century. So you have folks that will come in and say, well, Jehovah is the name of God. We don't really honestly know that. It's our word. It's our word. So why don't we go back and talk about what Jesus said. Okay, what did Jesus use? He used the word Adonai, or the Eternal One. You say, well, Mike, really, what does it matter? It matters a lot because we worship a God who chose to come here to save us, to break down this dividing wall of hostility, as we talked about in our class. We talked about, you know, we have wonderful visitors from Germany, and we talked about this wall that came down, you know, in East, that separated East and West Germany. You know, back in 1987, I asked Mildred and I asked Sylvan and I said, you know, why did you want to be on the east side? And they go, oh no, don't be on the, you didn't want to be on the east side. It was a bad side. West side, freedom, right? It represented freedom. So he breaks down this wall. God comes down from heaven to break down this dividing wall of hostility, right, Kelly? I mean, you're talking Ephesians. And breaks down this wall so that Jew and Gentile can have this amazing relationship with God again. He does everything for us, all right? So it's really important to understand who Jesus is and who he claims to be, because that's huge when it comes to everything in life. Adonai, Eternal One. I believe Jesus is going to use a name that makes sense. For example, if I'm in Zimbabwe, all right? If I'm in Zimbabwe, and I say to the people, who is the God you worship? And they say, the one who makes the sunshine. Okay? That's their name for God in Zimbabwe. I don't know if it is. I'm just making it up. But if that's what it was, and that's if they said, the one who makes the sunrise, if I'm God and I want to come down and I want to talk to Zimbabweans, then I want to look at them in the face and I want to say, I am the one who makes the sun rise. They're going to totally relate to that. Let's say I'm in Mongolia, all right? I'm in Mongolia, and they say, you know, they call their God, he who makes our faces smile, all right? So I go to Mongolia, and I'm representing God. And so they say, well, who are you? And he says, I'm the one who makes your faces smile. And they would be like, oh, we know who it is. So when Jesus shows up to the Jews, what were the names of God? Adonai, the Eternal One. But they attributed to God all of these other attributes, these other things, that he was the one who brought the bread from heaven. He's the one that's the light of the world. He's the one that has the glory.